You're listening to CGLO 1690 AM, and this is the Onomatopoeia Show, the show about comics and everything in between, all that good stuff. Wow, there's a big echo in here. I don't like that. Is that better?
I don't know.
What's wrong with the station? Oh, that's much better. Okay, whew. Anyways, you just heard, and I sound like I'm so intense because that music was so utterly intense. That was the No Luck Club. They're a band from Vancouver, three guys. They do some really awesome mixing, and that's from their album Prophetic, and I highly recommend them, the No Luck Club. You'll probably hear them later on throughout the show. Today's show is about all the awesome books that I got when I was away over Christmas. My parents, they live right by, well, actually, my parents live in Niagara-on-the-Lake, and they live right by this bookstore called the Book Depository. And every time I go to visit my parents, I'm like, please, 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 can we go to the bookstore? Last year, I was so lucky, because everything in the Book Depository is like 50% off to begin with, because they're remaindered books and most of them are in pretty good condition. You can get them really cheap. If they're beat up, you can get them even more cheap. But, you know, it was a Boxing Day sale on top of it. So it was 50% off of 50% off. So the prices there were absolutely ridiculous. And last year I managed to get the Farside collection, which is like two giant hardcovers that has everything, every Farside comic that was ever published. It has letters from people that didn't get the jokes, letters from famous people that the comics were about. There was a couple of essays written by Gary Larson himself about how, you know, like how his older brother taught him about timing as far as humor goes. And just, it's an amazing, amazing collection, and I totally love it. Plus, Gary Larson went through and recolored all the panels, all his one-panel gags. So it's a really amazing collection, and originally it sold for about $200, you know, give or take a 30 or so. I got it at that bookstore for like $50 because it was 50% off of what it originally was, which made it 100, and then another 50% off the Boxing Day sale price. It was insane. So I really love this bookstore, but of course you guys can't go. Nah, 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 nah. So I'm going to tell you about some of the really cool books I got this time around. There was, I got one of the Neil Gaiman books. Neil Gaiman, of course, is the comic book writer of Sandman and all sorts of great, great comics out there. He's been doing a lot of fictional novels as well, and I got the Anansi Boys, which is not his most recent for sure, but it's about gods and Anansi, the trickster god, and I guess how he's like living on Earth, and it's about his children, his son specifically. I haven't started that yet, mostly because I've got so many books to start that Anansi Boys is very low on the list, but I will get to it. And you know, Neil Gaiman, I already know, is a fantastic writer because I adore his comic books. Also, I got let's see here, A Frog Thing, which was a kid's book. I really, really restrained myself. I didn't even spend a lot of time in the kid's book section because I knew, you know, like I just could not be spending that kind of money, even though it's super cheap. You know, you kind of have to limit yourself. So I got one kid's book, and it's called A Frog Thing, and it's beautifully painted by this artist, John Muscato, and it's a really great story about this little froggy, and he wants to fly, and that's all he wants to do. And his parents are very supportive of him, and they're like, you know, well, we want you to fly, but that's just not a frog thing. That's like a bird thing. Frog things are like swimming and splashing and hopping, but the froggy's like, no, I really want to fly. And so he tries, and he tries really hard, but it never happens. It never works out. And so he, in the end, he ends up saving a baby bird. And the mother is so thankful. She asks the frog, you know, is there anything I can do for you? And he's like, well, I really want to fly. And so the mother bird is like, well, you can't fly. That's not a frog thing. That's a bird thing. But I'll tell you what, I'll help you out. So she goes and gets another birdie friend, and they have like a stick between them. And then they take the frog up in the air, and he flies, and everybody sees him flying. And they're all like, oh, we saw you fly. That's so cool. And but the little frog realized, you know, I didn't really fly. When his friends are all talking to him, he's like, the birds did the flying. I just hung on. And he realized, you know, in the end, as much as I wanted to do that, and I'm so happy that I got to do that, it's not really a frog thing. And I think I'm going to focus on being the best swimmer in the world. So it was a really cute story, but it also had a really neat message. And I think that a lot of kids get very frustrated when they can't do what they want to do. So it's a nice little story to sort of explain to them that the world doesn't always turn out the way you want it to. Speaking of things like that, over Christmas I got an excellent, excellent MP3 player because I need one because my old one was dying and it was stupid and it was a cheap piece of crap. So I got this really awesome one. But okay, it was really cool because it gives you all this free stuff when you get it. It's a Creative Zen, and I don't know what company that is. I don't think it's a Sony or any of those things because I don't really want an iPod. I know this sounds really ridiculous, but I don't like the interface. So I'm all about this Creative company. That was my initial MP3 player, and it lasted a really long time. It was really great, and then I left it at a restaurant, and then nobody gave it back. It was stolen. And so I got this new one, and it's really cool, although I'm finding it really difficult in many different ways. And I'm sitting here all the time going, technology is supposed to be easy. So one of the things they do that's really sneaky is they give you a 30-day subscription to Napster. So you download everything for free, which I went absolutely crazy. Like, I spent like 2 days just nonstop downloading everything I could get, and you just quick. And I get all this really great new music, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, I'm gonna play it on the radio show so I can share with you guys, you know, like all this really awesome stuff. But of course, sneaky Napster, you have to download the program into your computer if you want to play it. And there's no way I'm downloading the Napster stuff into the CJLO computer. That's just silly. So all this new music I've been listening to, I was frantically searching CJLO's music banks for, and they don't really have a lot of it, but I kind of made do. So I'm really happy with this MP3 player, but it's not everything I wanted it to be, so I'm kind of sad at the same time. Anyways, you're still listening to CJLO 1690 AM, and we are going to talk about comics. Don't worry, there's some comics that will be discussed. But for now, I'm just kind of giving you a bit of a rundown of all the cool things that I encountered in books that I saw and the stuff that I did when I was in Niagara-on-the-Lake with my parents over the Christmas holidays. One of the things I did that my brothers don't know yet is that I took their Diablo video game. So I'm going to see if it can play on my new computer, and we'll see if I can be slaying rogues in a heartbeat, because, you know, I do like video games. And speaking of video games and the whole new generation versus old generation in the video game stratosphere, it was really cool because one of my brothers came up with this great idea, because they bought a Wii. I didn't even know we had a Wii in my parents' house. I was like in shock because my brothers still live at home with my parents because they're still going to university. So there was a Wii in the house, and one brother was like, why don't we all play together? And I was like, that's a pretty good idea. And it's so weird because we're all sitting around playing a video game, but because it's a physical thing, we can all join in and enjoy it. So it was really neat to be able to spend that time with my parents, but playing video games, but we were playing Wii. So initially we played golf, and that kind of pissed me off because the whole flicking of the ball, the control, it was kind of difficult, but at least it was challenging, which I enjoyed. When we did bowling was not challenging at all, and I just kept striking and winning. So I was down with the golfing. And then the next thing we did was boxing, which was really bizarre. You know, you're sitting there trying to beat the crap out of your mother, but you're not really punching her, you're punching the screen. And it's, yeah. And you get to, that's the other thing, when you play Wii, you create these me characters, so you can make them look exactly like yourself or totally different. And I was all serious, it had to look like me. And my mom's like, you could do whatever you want. And I was just like, no, it's gotta have freckles, and that looks like my mouth. I don't know why it was so important, but it was to me. And so then the last thing we played, which was really cool, was the Mario Kart Mario Party Wii game. So you get to play, like, you know, one of the Mario characters. And then it's sort of like, you know, you're going on this little game board and you're trying to get close to the star. And then you have like these games that get you closer to the star where you play against the other characters. And it was a lot of fun. And then it was really weird because on the drive home, we stopped for fast food because we were in a hurry because my cousin drove me home and the poor guy had to get to Gagetown from Toronto, which is insane. So we grabbed some fast food. And at Burger King, they were selling Wii toys. So, of course, for $2, I got the princess toy. And it's just, it was a weird sort of loop-de-loop and things that had happened during the Christmas vacation. Anyways, we're going to go to one of the new musicians I discovered over the Christmas holidays. Her name is Janelle Monáe. She blows my mind. She put out this album called Metropolis, where she's created this whole world of humans and robots, and it's about a robot falling in love with a human and how the bounty hunters are after her. And, you know, I did download a lot of this stuff, but I'm definitely going to be going out and buying her album because there's got to be a comic involved in this somehow. She's got to be making a movie. I don't know what's going on, but it's really clever and I quite like it. So you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. We're going to have a promo for Limelight, which is an excellent show. And then you're going to hear some music from Janelle Monáe, 1690 AM.
Check out The Limelight Saturdays from 4 to 6 with your hosts, Jay Nice and Lady Oracle, for underground hip-hop and R&B right here.
Boys and cyber girls, I am happy to announce that we have a star-crossed winner in today's Heartbreak Sweepstakes. Android number 57821, otherwise known as Cindy Mayweather, has fallen desperately in love with a human named Anthony Greendown. And do you know the rules? She is now scheduled for immediate disassembly. Bounty hunters, you can find her in the Neon Valley Street District on the fourth floor at the Leopard Plaza apartment complex. The droid control marshals are full of fun rules today. No phasers, only chainsaws and electro daggers. Remember, only card-carrying hunters can join our chase today. And as usual, there will be no reward until her cyber soul is turned into the Star Commission. Happy hunting!
I'm a cyber girl without a face, a heart or a mind.
I'm a bride of the middle. I'm a bride of the main.
We have the students on the run. And as children finish school, we will continue helping them to gamble their lives and futures on drugs.
This is CJLO.
Thank you for listening.
And you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show, blowing your mind one comic book at a time. But today we're talking about some books and crazy things that I did over Christmas, like going to the new Art Gallery of Ontario and checking out video games with my parents and going on Napster. And me and my mom, we downloaded crazy amounts of music. She was, of course, getting older stuff like Manfred Mann, and I was running around getting Janelle Monáe, which you just listened to. The song, of course, was Violet Stars, and before that was March of the Wolfmasters. That's from her new album called Metropolis. You really need to go out and get it because, I don't know, when I was listening to it with my cousin in the car, I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm really anticipate dancing alone in my apartment to this music often because it's so cool, and I can't, she's got to have videos. I haven't checked it yet. I've got to check, but it's going to be awesome. Just you wait and see. She will be awesome. Everyone's going to be talking about it. But I told you first, Janelle Monáe. Anyways, let's see. What else can we talk about here? Oh, with my parents and my brother, we rented Forgetting Sarah Marshall. And I know this is old news and everybody has seen this movie a billion times, but it really made me laugh. And I mean, admittedly, having been through a breakup not too long ago, it really rang true, this movie. And the guy who played the rock star, I forgot his name. He's a stand-up comic. When the movie first came out, and I didn't go see it, but I was curious to see more about the stand-up comic. I looked him up on YouTube, and I didn't really find him all that funny. But in the movie, he was hilarious. I was like, they could do a whole movie about the stand-up comic playing rock star guy who Sarah Marshall was not really in love with, but having sex with anyways in the movie. It's a good movie. And, you know, it was really crude, and at times I was afraid my parents would not be into it, but they actually quite enjoyed it. So I'm glad they enjoyed it. And I highly recommend Forgetting Sarah Marshall. The best thing, of course, at the very end is there's like Muppets, which was what sold it for me. I mean, like, I loved it. The movie was great, but the Muppets, that was so cool. And there was like, they were real Jim Henson Muppets. Like, they went to the Jim Henson Studio of Light and Magic and they got, or am I really messing that up? Is Light and Magic George Lucas? I think so. I can't remember. My brain, it only can hold so much information. I'm pretty sure Light and Magic is George Lucas, but Jim Henson has his own studio and it's called something crazy, like the Jim Henson something something studios. And they did Muppets in this Forgetting Sarah Marshall. So that enough should make you go see it. And the outtakes and everything were really silly, and it was a very funny movie, just about a guy who gets dumped by a TV star, and then he goes to this Hawaiian resort to kind of forget her, but she's there with her new boyfriend, and it gets really awkward and funny, but the awkwardness really makes it awesome. let's see. Oh, another thing that I saw, another movie. I've been trying to see this movie Nana for 3 years, and here's the comic book angle. It's a comic book. Nana is a Japanese comic that I'm totally obsessed with. Like, it's really, I love the art. It's all really skinny, fashionable girls, and they have excellent style and awesome hair. But for some reason, I really get involved in the story. And the story is about these two girls, Nana. One's Nana, the other's Nana. One Nana is like a sort of rock star goth girl. The other Nana is kind of like a boy crazy frou-frou girl. They call, like, frou-frou Nana, they call her Hachi, which is Japanese for dog. Because she's like a cute little faithful waggy tail dog. So that's how you know the difference between the new two Nanas when I talk about them. Nana and Hachi. So, and I'm probably mispronouncing that because I'm not Japanese, but just to clarify. Anyways, this movie I've been trying to see for so long, and I love this movie, but it's a Japanese movie, and they're not always so easy to get unless they have like Jet Li in them, but he's actually Chinese. Anyways, I love this movie. I saw it finally. My friend burnt it for me, and I watched it at my parents' because my brothers have souped up computers and they can do those kind of things like watch movies from the internet. And I sniffled and sobbed through the whole movie. Like, it wasn't a movie that made me sad, but it was just like, it was so cool to see it live action, and it was so well done, and it was such a happy movie anyways. And oh man, I like was so involved, and so much of the visuals were exactly the same as the comic. Like, oh, it was awesome. And I was so psyched about it that I wanted to see the second one, but then I went online to look for it, and everybody who saw the second one said the second one was terrible. So it makes me sad that Nana number two is not as good as the first one. I don't understand why they do those kind of things. They even changed a bunch of actors, which makes me sad as well. But at least the first one came out and the first one was awesome, because they could have had this mega franchise. You know, it could have been like Star Wars, because the Nana comic series is like epic. I don't know when it's going to end. I'm already up to like book 15, I think. And the movie only encompassed up to like book 9 or something like that. It wasn't the whole series. So I don't know, but the movie was so good. Oh, the movie was so good. It was so worth the 3-year wait. And then the other movie she burned for me was Grave of the Fireflies, which is a Hayao Miyazaki movie. And Hayao Miyazaki has directed and illustrated Nausicaa. And then he has directed and animated My Neighbor Totoro and Spirited Away and Castle in the Sky, and the list goes on and on. And he's done a lot of cartoons, and they're beautiful, beautiful things. But Grave of the Fireflies, the one that my friend burned for me, was the live action version of a movie that he did that was about the war, World War II, and Japan's role in it. And it was so depressing. I like was just another movie I spent a lot of time crying during, but not good tears, not tears of joy. They were sad tears, very sad, sad tears. So yeah, Grave of the Fireflies. Well, you know, I guess everybody has these kind of movies in them and they want to, you know, get them out and tell people about them. So I was glad I saw it, but it's I guess as I get older, I don't necessarily need to see all these really depressing movies. Speaking of Miyazaki, though, I did, with some money, manage to get Castle in the Sky. When I bought my MP3 player, I had some money left over, and I got Castle in the Sky, which is another animated feature of his. And I'm so silly. Like, I was so excited to watch this movie, and I started watching it, and I'm like, I have seen this movie. I thought I never actually did see it, but I guess I finally did get around to seeing it. So I didn't really want to watch it anymore. But then I watched something else entirely different. I watched something called Wondershosen. And Wondershosen. The first season of Wondershosen was fantastic. Wondershosen is a kids show for adults with kids in it, and it's really insane and totally bizarre, but fantastically good. Now, the first season was awesome. You know, you got Muppets running around getting into people's face, and you got, you know, little kids running around interviewing people, and it was really over the top laugh riot, 24 hours a day, laughing your brains out. But the second one, I've only seen 2 episodes so far, and I'm just like, oh my god, it's really gotten fiercely gory, and then like it's really hard to take at some point. It's so gross, and I hope they don't focus completely on the whole grossness of the whole entire world. But it's a great thing to get the first season for sure. Get the first season, Wondershosen, a kids show for adults, and it's just crazy good times. Anyways, we're gonna keep talking about books and comics and cartoons and the Art Gallery of Ontario and all that cool stuff. But I'm going to go to some music. When I was visiting my parents, my brothers live there with them, and my one brother, he listens to some pretty interesting music. I actually, for Christmas, I got him a group called the Crystal Stilts, and they were recommended to me by the guy at Cheap Thrills, which is an excellent used CD store, as well as a new alternative CD store. That's where I shop. I get all my stuff at Cheap Thrills. But they'd never heard of the band that my brother wanted, which was this group called Persephone's Bees. I really threw them for a loop. And I was like, you know, I'm not just some moron here. I'm not just some, like, girl who listens to Britney Spears who's coming in to try to find a group for her brother. Like, I listen to a lot of alternative music, and I've not ever heard of Persephone's Bees. And they had never heard of Persephone's Bees either. So I mentioned that my brother likes The Clash and The Raveonettes and The Kills and The Hives and that stuff. And so they suggested these Crystal Stilts guys. And I'm not playing any for you, unfortunately, because they didn't have any at the station. But when I listened to them when he opened it, and he kind of liked it, so that, you know, made it all worthwhile. But they sounded like the Smiths. I'm just like, the Raveonettes don't necessarily sound like the Smiths, do they? And are we that, like, devoid of fresh music that we have to listen to tired old retreads of stuff? Which will bring me to my next point. Another female that's getting touted a lot in media right now as someone in the alternative media anyways, as a new album that's really hot and you really gotta love it. Because I had this Napster account, right, and I wanted to find like all this great cool music, but I started running out of ideas of who I wanted. So I went to the Mirror website and I checked out their top 10 list, and a lot of people like that Santo Gold girl, and I, you know, I'm listening to her album and it just sounds so much like MIA or Peaches or, you know, just like all these other people. And I'm kind of like, that's why I really like Janelle Monáe, because I find her to be pretty innovative. Anyways, all that to say, as I was driving around, I listened to my brother's Air CD. Now, I love Air. I had the first two albums. It's not like I wasn't into Air. I just, you know, I didn't follow through on Air because I'm tired of getting burned by bands that I like putting out new album after new album and then having the new album be crap. But my brother got the Talkie Walkie album and I was listening to it, and I actually quite liked it. It was really good. So we're going to play some Air, and the song is called Cherry Blossom Girl. Also going to play some Hayden from his album Elk Lodge. I didn't like this. Speaking of people that put out new albums and some of them suck and you just buy them not realizing they might suck because you trust in them and you buy them and buy them. Anyways, blah, blah, blah. Hayden put out this album and I was not too pleased with it, but there's one song on it called Woody, and it's a short little song about his cat, and I thought it was really cute, and I'm going to play that for my cat because he made the big trip out to Niagara-on-the-Lake and all the way back, and he meowed the whole time and he had to put up with a horrible cute little Shih Tzu dog. And so I have to play at least one song for him. And then after that, we'll play some Santo Gold. And you can let me know if you think that she's like ripping off other people or if she's got a whole fresh new sound herself. Anyways, you're listening to CGLO 1690 AM. This is Air from their Talkie Walkie album, Cherry Blossom Girl.
Shine, it's the beginning. with your friends of late. I'd be worried if you didn't do this every spring, when the grass grows and there's birds and trees and the sun shines and you don't need me. Come home from your escapades in the backyards with your friends of late.
Hey, hey, hey.
CJLO, Radio Concordia.
Yeah.
Radio, you can... I'm on the spot.
I don't know. 5,000 watts. I don't care, man. Alright. If you don't want any, whatever. Whatever, you ready.
You're listening to CJLO. Oh, who am I? Okay. I used to get, like, really angry inside, because, like, I'd have to drink vodka alone. I'm Jason from MADE. You're listening to CJLO, Radio Concordia. Radio, you can do things to.
You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show, the show about comics where we blow your mind one comic book at a time. But today we're playing more music and talking about books that don't really have a lot of pictures. But there is some comic talk. You just heard Santo Gold. That was from her new album. The song was called My Superman. Yeah, I'm just not into her. That song kind of reminded me of Nelly. I don't know. Is that just me? It might be just me. But whatever, to each his own. Then we heard some Hayden. The song was called Woody. It's about his cat. It was so cute. You can't deny it. And then before that, it was Air from their album Talkie Walkie and Cherry Blossom Girl, which I quite enjoyed. So we should talk about some more awesome books. The book that I'm just finishing right now is called Hollywood Divas, because I just, you know, and again, this is one of those book depository scores for like, God, $3 or something. It's this giant, huge book, and it's an A to Z of Hollywood divas, the good, the bad, and the fabulous. And yes, I admit, I'm into that trashy Hollywood stuff. But, you know, whatever. It's all good. But I, you know, it's cool because I learn when I read these things. I learned about this one woman. I'd never even heard of her before. I'd never seen any of her movies. She was around during the 20s, 30s, and 40s. Her name is Tallulah Bankhead. And this woman is amazing. Like, some of the things she said cracked me right up. I cannot wait to go out and find a biography of hers. And I'm sure it'll be in the library for nothing. When she was at a wedding, and this is during the 40s, she was open about her bisexuality. And at one point she went to this wedding and she commented loudly to a friend about the bride and the groom, "I've had both of them, darling, and neither of them is any good." The best was she was well known for her drug use. And on this topic, she quipped, "Daddy always warned me about men and alcohol, but he never said a thing about women and cocaine." So I just, this woman, Tallulah Bankhead, blew my mind. And I think she's hilarious and interesting. And, you know, it was pretty a neat little book because it deals a lot with the women from the turn of the century and the beginning of film, like Paulette Goddard, who was married to Charlie Chaplin. But then it also deals with like some mainstream people like Jennifer Lopez and Madonna. And unfortunately, they do cover Britney Spears, but this book was written in 2002. So it really did not get to the meat and potatoes of Britney Spears' diva-ish life. Anyways, I really enjoyed this Hollywood Divas book because I learned a lot about history, the history of film through it, and like some of the things that the studios would go through just to appease their women is kind of interesting. But at the same time, some of the ways they took advantage of the women in film was kind of horrible as well. I have the male counterpart for this book, also $3 at the book depository, and it's Hollywood Bad Boys, which includes people like Johnny Depp and Charlie Sheen, Marlon Brando, but I'm mostly looking forward to reading about Steve McQueen because I don't really know lots about his life. So, you know, lots of good trashy books at the book depository. Another book that I got at the book depository that I have to tell you about is the New Found book. I didn't even know there was a New Found book, so I was very excited about this find. Found is this zine that became a book that this guy Davy Rothbart was doing. Sorry, I totally mispronounced his name now. Davy Rothbart. It started out as a zine called Found, and basically the premise was he would pick up stuff off the street, and not just any stuff, like it would be notes. It had to be notes. It had to be some kind of written content, and especially if it was tragic or funny or weird or bizarre, he definitely kept it, and he would publish it in his little zine Found. Eventually he collected all those things and put out a book called Found, and it was a great little collection of stuff that people had sent to him and stuff that he had found over the years. Lots of crazy stuff in it. Anyways, the second book, same thing, more found stuff, but some of the stuff in here is just hilarious. The ones that I want to show, I'm going to share two with you. One was found in a chapel. Here, I'll read this to you. This man, Mr. Mark Thomas, works as a professional hospital chaplain. Yesterday, I was cleaning up the chapel after services, and I found this note crumpled in a ball in the corner of the room. And this was in Oregon. "Dear God, my dad is very ill and is dying. Give me money, God damn it." and the person who wrote the note crossed out God. And the goddamn it. it's kind of tragic, but funny too. Another one is he's got a whole section on lists, people who write lists and stuff. And so this one list, things to do. It was found by Jacques Lamar in Hartford, Connecticut. Get a new skateboard deck, crossed off. Think of band names, crossed off. Get a lawnmower service going, crossed off. Hook up with Jen, not crossed off. Make it to sixth grade. I just think that last line, make it to sixth grade. makes the little note all worth it. So this is found book number 2, and I like, you know, it's, they're gems, treasures. And even I have found like some really neat notes from people just walking along the street. Like, you always got to keep your eyes open. It's a pretty cool way of seeing the world. Also, another book I got at the Book Depository was The Lives of Muses, 9 Different Women and the Artists That They Inspired. As well, I got the new Robert Fulham, which is called What Was I Thinking? I like also recommend Robert Fulham because, sorry, I was reaching for the book. That's why you couldn't hear me so well. I recommend Robert Fulham because he's not saccharine. He's somebody who will give you... Well, this book is about stories, observations, and affirmations. He also is a bit of a religious guy. He's a priest, but... He, you know, like, I don't like religious people. Well, it's not that I don't like him. What a thing to say. Sorry, that's a really bad thing to say. It's not that I don't like them. It's just that I don't really hang out with a lot of them because I just can't handle dealing with that kind of propaganda. So I don't read books by people that are involved in heavily involved in religion. But Fulham, I find he's not saccharine and he's not preachy. Like, when he talks about stuff, he talks about it just the way it is. And he has a very Zen Taoist way of looking at the world that isn't so steeped in the Christian or Catholic doctrine. So please scratch what I said about I don't like hanging out with religious people. It's just, you know, I don't walk into a church and make friends with everybody because I want to hear about their dogma. I just kind of, you know, that's your thing. You do it. That's great. I do my thing. We're all happy. But Robert Fulham, I will read him. He wrote a book. The first book he wrote was Everything I Ever Know I Learned in Kindergarten. And it's insanely accurate to this day. And so I continually, you know, whenever I see anything that he's written, I will read it and buy it because it's usually pretty interesting and life-affirming. And yeah, Robert Fulham, he's good. Also, one of the books I got, and this, well, I also got a Julie Andrews biography because I'm very curious about her, and she's a fantastic singer and actress, and I'm curious to learn more about her life. And I got some comics. It's a Japanese manga series called Tarot Cafe. Actually, I think it's Korean. It's not Japanese. It's a Korean manga series called Tarot Cafe, and I really like the art, and it's a bizarre story that this woman, she can help you solve your problems, and these weird people come to her. It's very sort of occultish, but the art is very goth, neat, Lolita, and I like it, and the stories were kind of spooky but cool. And so I found book 3 and 4, which is good. So now I gotta find book 2 because I have book 1 already. That's the only problem with the Book Depository. If you're looking for series, it's really bad. Like, one time I got a Buffy book and it was actually like number 3 of a 3-part series that I couldn't read. But then, weirdly enough, I went into a Value Village, the one that was up by Namur and Station, and they had the other 2 of the trilogy. I was like, holy cow, for 25 cents. I was so lucky to find that. Now, my biggest score this time at the Book Depository was something that I was very excited to have and see. And it's like, oh, I can't even believe they did this book, and the way that the book is laid out is so cool. There's an artist that you see in the cheesy little framing shops who does, he's done like a keyboard player, graffiti guy, a trumpet player, a sax player. He's got a real sort of goofy graffiti style with big hands and big eyes and skinny faces, big noses. His name is Justin Bua, and I really like his art. And this book is an art book, but it's put together by him. And it's also, it's mostly just people in his life and the world that he lived in. And he grew up in the project. So a lot of what he's drawing is people around him in the projects. So this book, like, is amazing. Not only do you get, like, his paintings, his process from pencil to paint, you get, like, all these beautiful pages of sketches and his life story, too, you know, like, and people that were in his life, breakdancers, graffiti artists, punks, squatters, musicians. Like, it's an amazing book. It's called The Beat of Urban Art, The Art of Justin Bua. And I'm just going to read like the introduction to you, just the little bit of the intro, just so you get an idea of who he is. I'm originally from New York City's Upper West Side. I grew up next to an SRO, single room occupancy hotel, that was home to many hardworking, low-income people, some of whom illegally crammed their children in with them. In the early 70s, local and federal funding was cut, and New York was forced to close many mental institutions. Instead of providing them with community-based housing, with the enormous amount of money that was saved from closing facilities like Willowbrook and Creedmoor, the government dumped the mentally ill onto the streets and into SR hotels. R-O-O hotels. Suddenly, people and families living in the SROs were side by side with the mentally insane. They were chaotic breeding grounds for all sorts of characters, the SROs. They were a refuge for our colorful cast from the underworld, from the elderly and disabled to the pushers and the hustlers, the junkies, the drug dealers, the prostitutes, the criminals, and even the murderers. There were two SROs on my block and over 200 in my neighborhood, as if New York City wasn't crazy enough. I lived on the Upper West Side, what we called the Upper Best Side. And being a latchkey kid, I spent most of my time hanging out on the streets. I was proud to be from uptown, but I was in an environment that was decaying rapidly. On our block, people weren't even hiding their guns anymore. So the book, it's weird. It's almost like this kid's book because, you know, there's type on top of art and there's backgrounds and people and they're, you know, separated into vagrants, projects, heroes of his life, hard rocks that made his life worth living, you know, the New York City wildlife. And he's got like, oh, he's got this mangy cat, crazy rat, frou-frou poodle, a goofy looking pigeon. Even the plants and animals had attitude and drive to survive. He says this book, I like, I'm so in love with this book. If you can find it, The Beat of Urban Art by Justin Bua, I highly recommend you get it because it's a fascinating, fascinating amalgam of art and art writing. It's just, it's way cool. Way cool. Way cool. And that's pretty much it. That's all the books I got when I went to visit my parents. All those books that I told you about, I got them for under $40. I know, it's sick, isn't it? The Book Depository rocks. I, you know, everybody should go there. We're going to go to some more music, and then afterwards I'm going to tell you about my trip to the Art Gallery of Ontario. I'm going to play some Eric's Trip and some Julie Doran just because I feel like it, and it's some good CanCon, and we all love Julie Doran here at the Onomatopoeia Show. and then after that, maybe I'll play some of Montreal and the Ravenettes because that was more stuff that I downloaded in my crazy downloaded crazy days. I was even like going to do like compilations, like a 90s grunge compilation of like all my favorite grunge stuff, you know, because it's been so long since I've heard Pearl Jam and Soundgarden. And then I was going to do like an 80s compilation. And then I was going to, I still have to re-register on a Napster because I did it at my parents. So I don't know if it'll let me, but we'll see what happens. But the good news is even though I download all this stuff, I do buy it. I'm not just downloading like crazy and not giving money to the artist. Anyways, blah, 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 Eric's Trip. This is Happens All the Time. It's from their EP Peter, probably like one of the first things they ever put out. You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM.
Almost saying before you're dead, you're ready. Just let the love in. Don't wanna be like by you. Don't wanna be like by you. And I never wanna be in your bed. And I never wanna be in your bed.
Check out The Limelight from 4 to 6 primetime Saturdays with me, Jay Nice, and Lady Oracle. The best hip-hop, the best R&B right here represented on CJLO.
You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. Sorry about that weird dead air in the middle of that Julie Doran song. I pushed a button by accident. Anyways, you heard some Julie Doran from her latest album, and the song was called Don't Wanna Be Liked By You. And I remember I was playing that because I'm wearing my Eric's Trip t-shirt today. So I played Eric's Trip earlier, Happens All the Time, from the first album, Peter. And we're running out of time, so I'm going to quickly tell you about the AGO. I went to the AGO. It's the Art Gallery of Ontario. It's a brand new building that's full of lots of wood and lots of light, and it's really pretty and spacious. But you know, I found the design not to be all that innovative because it kind of reminded me a lot of the Vancouver Art Gallery. But there was really neat stuff in there. They made a new building because they had this new collection from this guy named Thompson. And one of the things that I really enjoyed seeing was a whole bunch of art by this guy named Krieghoff. And he was a beautiful painter who did a lot of scenes of Montreal and Quebec and Ontario. And just like, you know, the voyageurs, while they're in their sled or they're with their dogs or they're hunting or they're collecting wood or they're with their family or they're at the pub or they're having a raucous time out in the snow. Lots of snow scenes. But it was really interesting to see that little bit of history of Canada. They also had a section that was for the graphic arts, a lot of caricature, political farces, comics, and of course Seth, which, you know, I agree, he's a very beautiful cartoonist, but at this point in time I'm getting a little tired of him. And there are other cartoonists in Canada besides Seth. So, but whatever. To each his own, again. And the other thing about the AGO that was really neat was this Thompson guy had this huge collection of model boats, and they were huge boats. Like, they were meticulously created and carved and wooden, and it was like the turn of the century was about the time period for a lot of these, and they were beautiful, like just beautifully displayed, beautifully meticulously made. And so, like, it gave me hope in a weird way, because I was kind of like telling my mom, this is how I dream my action figure collection will be. Not that I'm super rich and that I can build an art gallery for my action figures, but to me they're like modern sculpture, and I'm specifically choosing to collect females And they're really rare within the action figure community, as it's a totally male-dominated sort of thing. So, like, I know it's really lofty of me, but I really do have this idea of, you know, when I die, my action figures will be part of this collection that might be shown in art galleries. Anyway, so it was cool to see these model boats, because I'm pretty sure that's exactly what Thompson was thinking of. Also, I really enjoyed all the Lauren Harris I got to see, which is one of the artists of the Group of Seven, who started following the tenets of Ayn Rand very closely, and he was trying to find the true spirit of the nature that he was painting, which was cool. And then up on the top floor, there was a whole bunch of giant, like, mixed media sculpture art, which was really cool, like lots of, you know, art made out of giant book bags and shoes and stuff. And I like that kind of stuff. So the Art Gallery of Ontario, thumbs up. That was a really interesting art gallery, and I didn't have enough time to see it all. And there was some stuff that I didn't like, but whatever. I mean, that's an art gallery, right? You like some of it, you don't like some of it. There was even like some Inuit sculpture and, you know, just the history. Being able to see so much Canadian historical paintings was really special. So I really enjoyed going there, and I recommend, if you like art, to go there too. Now, I totally bypassed the news section of our show, so I'll just give you two snippets of news that I caught over the long holidays away. There's going to be a new Doctor Who, some unknown guy that nobody knows who hasn't done a lot of stuff, and I've seen pictures of him. He looks okay, I guess. I don't know. I, you know, to be honest, I was really big into the Christopher Eccleston Who, so I, yeah, whatever. Who? Doctor Who. Yay. New Doctor Who. And the Watchmen movie is completely tied up. I don't know when it's going to be released. I don't know what's happening. Well, I do know what's happening a little bit. Basically, what's happening is Fox feels that they still have the rights to the Watchmen, and they're the people that do own the rights. I forget who it is. It could be Warner Brothers. I could be wrong. But it's another company, suffice to say, that's been putting together the Watchmen movie. And so now Fox is taking them to trial, and it's completely sewn up. Like, the movie will not be released, obviously, until this kerfuffle has been resolved. So it should be pretty interesting stuff, which is, yeah, it makes me kind of sad, because I actually really wanted to see the Watchmen movie. I even made my brother read it while I was over at Christmas, so he's going to be prepared, and I'm prepared. But pretty soon, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have a show about the new movies that are coming out, the new superhero comic book movies that are coming out in the year 2009. And also, there's going to be a review of The Spirit, because I'm insanely upset about it, and I want to do a show about it. God damn it. Anyways, The Spirit, it makes me sick how Frank Miller bastardized Will Eisner's work, especially when Frank Miller has had his RoboCop totally destroyed. Anyways, you are listening to The Onomatopoeia Show. It's the show about comics raw, and we blow your mind one comic book at a time, and we are out of time. There, I don't know what's up next. Incinerator, she's not here. She might still be gone and be back next week. But I'm going to play some Ravenettes, even though we're going over time. This is for my brother. The song is My Boyfriend's Back. A nice, cool oldie, but a moldy, goldy good one. And CGLO, 1690 AM. I don't know what I'm doing next week, but it'll be really well prepared, and there will be good music accompanying it. And go out and get Janelle Monáe. I don't need to promote this. I wanted to, you know, she's going to be hot next year. Well, it's this year. She's going to be hot this year. You guys, you don't know. You don't know, but check it out. Janelle Monáe. But yeah, this is the Ravenettes, not Janelle Monáe. I'm just making you go buy her now. Buy it. Okay, Ravenettes.
Check out the Limelight from 4 to 6.
Oh, that's not Ravenettes. That's Ravenettes. Ah, computers. They're
you went away, and you hung around and bothered me every night. And when I wouldn't go out with you, you said things that weren't very nice.
Hey la, my boyfriend's back, been spreading. awful strong.